Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law.
'Cause I'm the tax man.
Call now with your tax questions at 252-222-4848.
And with that, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Lockwood.
All right. Life and Taxes. What's happening in the world of taxes and estate management, things of that nature?
Yeah, we have an interesting case today, Lockwood, that just came down from the tax court regarding an estate matter, which is great. So good segue there. In this particular case, shows the difficulties of an estate trying to get what's called an offer in compromise of tax debt owed by the decedent. Okay.
So, in other words, the deceased had a tax debt.
Yes.
And it now basically accrues to the estate.
Correct.
And here I am managing that estate. I'm going to be a beneficiary of the estate. So now it's my problem.
That's right. Okay. It's your problem, but bear in mind the only assets that are on the table are assets of the estate at that point in time. You know, and we do have what I would say would be a fixed pie, because obviously this individual, his estate's set. I mean, there's no way to incur more money unless you're a celebrity or something like that with royalties coming in or something of that nature. But for the most part, and this is the case in this particular case that we have here today, you know, that is a fixed pie. So executors have to make decisions relative to how they're going to treat, you know, these debts, because obviously they don't want that problem to become their problem.
Right.
Because there is the ability for, if you don't manage the estate properly, for that debt to find its way over to you and you have some personal liability relative to that debt. So it's very important whenever we see IRS issues in estate settings, we really have to have the microscope out and make sure that we're analyzing this from every perspective. And if we take a position on a file, we darn well better make sure that we're correct, because we do not want to subject our clients to any type of liability relative to estate tax debt. So let's talk a little bit about kind of a preview. So this involves an offer in compromise that the estate's trying to get. An offer in compromise is trying to settle your tax debt for less than what the fair market value of that debt is. You know, you owe $100,000, you want to pay $10,000, you know. And the way that you get that, Lockwood, is the IRS looks at what's called your reasonable collection potential, okay? Mm-hmm. Reasonable collection potential is what the IRS believes the taxpayer can raise by selling assets or using the taxpayer's disposable future income over some period of time. So really, in this regard, when we're talking about an estate matter, we talked about how the pie is pretty much fixed. We're really only concerned about what assets are in the estate relative to this. And there's two types of offered compromises. One is what we call an economic hardship offer, which is basically saying that if I were to have to pay this tax debt, it's going to cause me such an economic hardship that you really should cut me a break. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, you know, our hypothetical here is we've got an individual who maybe was very successful, had an illness of some type, and now cannot work anymore. And yet he owes all this money from prior years, but now he's unable to pay that debt because he's unable to work to generate money to be able to pay that type of debt. That's a classic example where we'd have an economic hardship where the IRS might give you an offer in compromise. Then there's a non-economic hardship, which basically just says the IRS will be willing to compromise if the offer promotes the effective tax administration, where you look at compelling public policy or equity considerations identified by the taxpayer to provide a basis to compromise the liability. That's a lot of gobbledygook for basically just saying, is this in the IRS's best interest to take this offer? Would it promote, you know, policy by accepting an offer in this regard? So here's our facts and circumstances, Lockwood, in this particular case, setting the stage by telling you those facts. So Mr. Washington made a lot of money before his death, to the tune that he owed $190,000 in tax liabilities when he passed away. Ironically enough, his ex-wife, and we'll find out why, qualified as personal representative of his estate. And the assets of the estate are very straightforward. There's a checking account with $34,000, and there's a 401k for $148,000. All right? So we have two assets, almost ironically enough, about the value of the debt that's owed. So anyways, the ex-wife, and why was she involved? Well, guess what? She had a separation agreement that was incorporated into a divorce decree that required the decedent to change the beneficiary of his life insurance policy to her, a $100,000 policy. Uh-huh. It was a very complex, convoluted agreement, but it said he had to change the beneficiary of his $100,000 life insurance policy to her. And in the event that he didn't do that, the sole discretion of the personal representative would be that they would be able to distribute those proceeds, for any 401k proceeds, to make sure that $100,000 debt got paid to the spouse.
Responsibility, yeah.
All right, so you see what the stage is set up here. We got spouse on one side. She has a divorce decree that says that she's owed $100,000 from a life insurance policy that the decedent didn't do. Now she wants that out of the estate.
Right.
All right. Then we got the IRS on the other hand. They have $190,000 of tax debt that's owed. Okay? So that's where we are. Which is going to take priority?
That's the question. who's first at the pie?
That's right. Who's first in line? Is it this divorce decree that clearly was before the tax debt arose because they got divorced and then he made money and then he died? Or is it going to be the tax debt? That's going to be
You're waving your arm.
Ask you. So what do you think, Lockwood, just based on those facts and circumstances? Where do you think this case is going?
I think the ex-wife wins.
Okay. All right. So Lockwood.
Because I'm looking at it in time.
Looking at first and right, first in time.
Yeah.
And that's normally a good way to look at it. But the problem here is.
You said normally.
Normally. That's right. But the issue we have here is this is an offer and compromise situation. And so the IRS is looking and seeing that which debt takes priority. And they say that her claim against the estate, and this is key, her claim against the estate for those $100,000, although it's based upon
previous,
her claim is now. If you think about it, her claim against the estate is now.
Okay.
Because he's died, she files a claim against the estate saying, the estate owes me $100,000.
If she had filed prior to that.
Well, how do you do that, though?
That's the question.
You can't.
Yeah, okay.
So that's how that issue went down relative to priority, which is your claim is now, although it's based upon a prior separation agreement. All right?
Okay.
But the key here is that we've got a decision to make, which is, will this offer and compromise be accepted? She offered $10,000. And the reason she offered $10,000 for the $190,000 of tax debt is she said, look, you owe me $100,000. That leaves us with, you know, $50,000 or whatever of debt. Well, we got to hire a lawyer. You know, we got to pay the probate fees. We got all this stuff that costs administration that does get taken off the top of an estate. You know, and then, you know, there'll be a few thousand dollars left over, but you know, you get your $10,000 now, you should be happy. Problem is that when they look at this particular offer, Lockwood, it can't be under the economic hardship standard for real collection potential. And the reason for that is because we talked about it. It's a fixed pie at this point in time. You can't argue the estate has some economic hardship.
Right.
So it's got to come under that catch-all, that non-economic hardship rule relative to the fact that would this help tax policy, tax administration policy. Can you articulate a reason about why we should be willing to take less money on this particular estate than what we're fully owed? And the judge was pretty harsh. You know, he said, look, we have priority because your claim came after our debt and you can't come under the guise of, hey, he owed me this. He had this obligation back in this divorce decree that you now need to fulfill from this estate. No, that $100,000 that you think you're getting, that's back in the till. And the minute you put that $100,000 back in the till, this offer is unacceptable. And that's the analysis basically that the judge came up with relative to this. And you know, the reason I wanted to bring this case up to our listeners is for a couple of reasons. I mean, number one, yes, this is an estate context. But it shows you the nuances and how difficult an offer and compromise can be. You know, I have a lot of clients or prospective clients that come into the office and tell me, hey, I owe X amount of dollars. And, you know, what do you think my options are? And I start going through a list of things like, okay, what assets do you have? What income are you making? All that type of thing, Lockwood. And it's almost right off the bat, I can tell them whether or not I think they're going to be eligible for an offer and compromise or not. And the key there is that you got to kind of have nothing, you know, in order to get that offer and compromise accepted for a very low amount, or you have to make a meaningful offer with a good reason about why you're making that meaningful offer.
This is speculation now, but could she have made another offer? Do you think that would have caught the attention of the judge, or was it because it was so?
Yeah, it was low. It was, you know, and I think that that's the interesting thing. I mean, obviously, her attorney advised her to go with this $10,000 number.
As possible.
Yeah, and just go as low ball as possible, and let's push this thing, and let's hang our hat on this $100,000, which you clearly thought, you know, hey, it looks to me like this debt was supposed to be, you know, owed way back when. It's got to take priority because it's first in time, first in right. But when you do the analysis, you see it really didn't accrue until he breached his duty, and then the claim is filed.
And in reality, there was no major hardship
for
the estate. So that was another challenge.
That's exactly
right. The other aspect of this, we think of our conflicts with IRS. You're also raising the awareness that this can also impact future activities for your estate.
Correct. The debt does not die with you, Lockwood.
Okay. Okay. Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins. As always, I remind you, worthwhile to give them a call. That's Harvell and Collins, and the website is harvellandcollins.com. Andrew, as always, thanks for being with us.